So before we come to Ruth chapter 3, let's just have a recap of chapters 1 and 2. So what have we learned so far? Well, we've learned that Naomi leaves the covenant land of Israel to live in Moab, which is a pagan land cursed by God. Her husband and two sons die, and she continues living in Moab for a further 10 years. So this isn't a short time of wandering away from the Lord. This is a long time of rebellion and backsliding. Naomi then returns to the covenant land in an act of repentance. Ruth is converted and returns to Bethlehem with Naomi. She knows the God of Israel is the only true God, and she wants to be inside the covenant, and she knows this is where her salvation is. Ruth says, "Your God will be my God," despite Naomi saying in verse 13 that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So despite Naomi's bitter experience, Ruth is not deterred, and she trusts in the Lord God in spite of things. The Lord then lifts the famine in Judah and provides a way home for Naomi. He gives her an amazingly devoted and loving daughter-in-law to accompany her. And at the end of the chapter in verse 21, she says to the townspeople of Bethlehem, "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, the Almighty has afflicted me." So in reality, Naomi left Judah spiritually empty, but materially full. She returned in repentance and is now being made spiritually full again with material emptiness. So Ruth and bitter Naomi, they settle in Bethlehem. And in chapter 2, we see the mercy of God is so obvious that even Naomi will recognize it. So Ruth goes gleaning and she meets Boaz, who is a man of valor, a man of great wealth, and also their kinsman redeemer. So Boaz brings Ruth into the fold of fellow believers and shepherds her as a new convert. The Lord shows mercy to Ruth because she has sought refuge under his wings. She has counted his protection better than all others. And she has set her heart on the Lord, and she's recognizing the Lord as a source of refuge. She does not plead her own merits, but acknowledges that this is the Lord's goodness. So Naomi is transformed into a God-exalting woman under the sovereignty of God. She is no longer bitter, and she recognizes the Lord's goodness to her. Okay, so that's a recap of chapters 1 and 2. So let's just read Ruth chapter 3. And the theme of this chapter is Ruth's redemption is assured. So Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you are with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in and cover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and covered his feet and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself. And there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, then good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." So, as before, I'll go through the chapter verse by verse and share some thoughts. So let's start with verses 1 and 2, where we read, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women were with you, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor.'" So the time of the harvest is now over, and Ruth can no longer glean in the fields to feed herself, and nor can she feed Naomi either. Therefore, Naomi sees her predicament and she asks, "Shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Here Naomi is, of course, speaking of marriage, and she reminds Ruth that Boaz is a kinsman. So what Naomi is actually doing here is invoking the Mosaic law of the kinsman redeemer. From this invocation, we can see that Naomi is fully returned to the Lord, that her bitterness has been overcome, and she is now instructing Ruth, her daughter-in-law, in the covenant law of Israel. So, in other words, Naomi is now shepherding Ruth. You know, she's being a spiritual guide for Ruth, and she is caring for her spiritually and also physically. So what Naomi is doing, she is suggesting that Ruth appeals to Boaz for marriage, as she asks, "Is he not our relative?" Now, this suggestion from Naomi, it was an ancient Jewish custom. And again, the Hebrew word for relative being used here is Goel, G-O-E-L, which is also translated as redeemer. So Naomi is reminding Ruth that Boaz is their family redeemer or their kinsman redeemer. Now, the kinsman redeemer had a specifically defined role in the history of Israel. I'm just going to go through some verses with you now. So this is about the kinsman redeemer. Leviticus 25 verse 48 tells us that the kinsman redeemer was responsible to buy a fellow Israelite out of slavery. Numbers 39:19 tells us that the kinsman redeemer was responsible to be the avenger of blood, to make sure the murderer of a family member answered to the crime. Leviticus 25 verse 25 tells us that they were responsible to buy back family land that had been forfeited. And this verse, this is one we'll focus on. Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 to 10, tells us that the kinsman redeemer was responsible for carrying on the family name by marrying a childless widow. So that's the situation we have here in the book of Ruth. Now, the kinsman redeemer was responsible to for safeguarding the persons, the property, and the future generations of the family. And since Boaz was a recognized kinsman redeemer for the family of Elimelech, Ruth could appeal to him to safeguard the name of Elimelech's family and take her in marriage. Now, it may seem to us today that this kind of behavior is inappropriately forward, but at the time it was regarded as proper behavior, all those 3,500 years ago in Israel. We then come to verses 3 to 4, where Naomi instructs Ruth to wash herself and anoint herself, put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in and cover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. Now, in today's world, you know, I think this can be interpreted possibly as a sexually provocative move. However, this is not how this gesture was understood in ancient Israel. In the culture of the day, this was understood as an act of total submission. It was the role of the servant to lie at their master's feet and be ready for their commands. You know, just like Uriah, when he wouldn't go to his wife Bathsheba. Instead, he slept on the floor outside his king's room, outside David's room. So when Naomi tells Ruth to lie down at Boaz's feet, she's actually telling her to go to him in a totally humble and submissive way, not as a victim of widowhood demanding her rights. Rather, she is to go to Boaz, trusting in the goodness of her kinsman redeemer. So what we have here is Boaz as a Christ-like figure, you know, in how we should come to the Lord Jesus. You know, we are to come in total submission. We are to lie at his feet, just as Ruth was to wait for Boaz to tell her what she should do. So should we ask the Lord to direct us through his word, and it's through his word that he instructs us, that he tells us what to do. Now, also in these verses, Ruth is coming to claim her right as laid down in Jewish law. Boaz is her kinsman redeemer, and she had the right to expect him to marry her and raise up a family with her in the name of Elimelech. Now, Ruth doesn't come to Boaz saying, "This is what you must do for me, as it is my right according to Jewish law." Rather, she comes as a humble servant, trusting in the goodness of Boaz, in the goodness of her kinsman redeemer. And, you know, kind of what I said earlier, I'm sort of repeating myself, this is how we should come to the Lord Jesus, humbly, servant-hearted, trusting in his goodness as our redeemer. Now, notice how Naomi also says in these verses, "He will tell you what you should do." Naomi doesn't seem concerned that Boaz will reject Ruth. Rather, she seems to be assured that he will instruct Ruth wisely and correctly. And again, I think this is an example of Boaz as the type of Christ, you know, and we can be assured that when we come to the Lord Jesus, we know that he will not be harsh or vindictive or petty towards us. You know, rather, we can be assured that the Lord is working out his purposes for us and not against us. So it's all about coming in faith, coming in and trusting in him and in his loving kindnesses and his tender mercies. And Ruth's response in verse 5 is, "All that you say to me, I will do." So Ruth in turn she humbly and wisely accepts the direction she receives from the maturer believer who is Naomi. And then in verses 6 to 7, we see that Ruth went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly and covered his feet and lay down. Now, apparently at this time, farmers would sleep on the threshing floor rather than in their houses, I think mainly to guard their crops from the Philistines and thieves. And anyway, so while Boaz was doing this, Ruth came softly, she uncovered his feet, and she lay down. And to me, this draws parallels with the woman in the New Testament in Luke chapter 7, who came to Jesus and wet his feet with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, just as this woman came to Jesus as a wretched sinner and found forgiveness and redemption at the feet of Jesus, so too is Ruth being redeemed at the feet of Boaz. And then verses 8 and 9, we see, you know, it got to midnight and Boaz was startled and as he turned over and found a woman lying at his feet. So he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." So, you know, we can well imagine that Boaz was startled, you know, waking up in the night, seeing someone else there. You know, especially as he was quite possibly there to guard the harvest from thieves. But, you know, that said, Boaz asks, "Who are you?" And Ruth responds to Boaz and claims him as her close relative. Now, the word relative here is the same Hebrew word again. It's goel, G-O-E-L, that we saw in verse 2. So Ruth is explicitly claiming Boaz to his face as her kinsman redeemer and petitioning him to provide for her. Now, as I've already said, this was not inappropriate. It was bold, but it was not inappropriate. So she's effectively saying to him, "You are my kinsman redeemer. You can redeem me and you can redeem my family name." So again, although Elimelech had died, his sons had died as well, Elimelech had the right to have his family name carried on, and the kinsman redeemer Boaz had the responsibility to do this for Elimelech. Now, this could only happen through Boaz marrying Ruth and providing children for Ruth to carry on the name of Elimelech. Note that this could not have happened through Naomi, as she was beyond childbearing age at this point. She tells Ruth and Orpah in chapter 1 that she cannot have any more sons for them. So when Ruth goes on to say, take your maidservant under your wing, she is boldly, yet humbly and properly claiming what is owed to her. Now, firstly, notice that she also identifies herself as a maid servant. So this is, you know, Ruth is again showing great humility and submission here, you know, and that's a lesson for us. She is presenting herself as Boaz's servant, you know, just as we should present ourselves with humility and submission to the Lord Jesus as his servants. And in return, again, this is showing Boaz as a type of Christ. Just as Ruth has come under the wings of the Lord God of Israel for refuge, which we saw in the previous chapters, so she is petitioning Boaz to be redeemed under his wing. Now, in the Authorized Version, I read from the New King James Version, but in the Authorized Version, the word wing is translated as skirt. So in the Authorized Version, Ruth says, take your maidservant under your skirt. And when looking at the original Hebrew, this word skirt, which can also be translated as wing, it's also, and it's used, it's the same word that is used in Ruth chapter 2 verse 12, which reads, the Lord repay you your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So the word wing and skirt here are interchangeable. Now, the idea of the Lord spreading his wing over someone or taking someone under his wing is also found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 8, where the Lord describes Israel as a young woman whom he took for his wife. The verse reads, when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord. So when in the Authorized Version, Ruth says, spread your skirt over me, she's actually saying to Boaz, please marry me. Now, even today in 2020, even in Jewish wedding ceremonies, the groom throws his talith, or that's his prayer shawl, over the bride to signify that he has taken her under his protection. So that is a practice we are still seeing through the ages as well. And then note Boaz's response to Ruth's petition. Boaz said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. So Boaz is, he immediately acknowledges Ruth as a fellow believer. You know, blessed are you of the Lord. And he also realizes and acknowledges that he is older than Ruth, and that she could have, you know, gone after a younger man, perhaps more suitable for her. But Ruth, who is now safely in the covenant, you know, she knows the Jewish law, as she had been well taught by Naomi, and she knows that her redemption lies with her kinsman redeemer, which is Boaz. So she is waiting on him to provide for her. And I think also this response from Boaz, you know, it shows us something of his character as well. You know, as the kinsman redeemer, he had the right to force himself upon Ruth as her redeemer and, you know, future husband, but he doesn't. You know, he does not act as the kinsman redeemer towards Ruth unless Ruth first desired it. And again, I think, you know, that draws parallels to the Lord Jesus in that he often deals with us so gently, in that he draws us to him, not through force or fear or pain or judgment, but through his loving kindness, through his immense mercy and his immeasurable grace. And then Boaz goes on to say in verse 11, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. So this is assurance. Boaz is providing Ruth with assurance. She has petitioned him and he has answered. Now, notice that Boaz calls Ruth a virtuous woman. Now, the Hebrew word for virtuous woman here is hayil. I think that's how you pronounce it. So it's H-A-H-Y-I-L. The basic meaning behind this Hebrew word is strength, but this is not physical strength. This word is specifically about moral strength. It is integrity. It is virtue. So, you know, it's that type of strength. And the same word, hayil, is also used concerning the mighty men of valor, such as Joshua and Gideon. So just as courage and moral strength made these men biblical heroes, so Ruth's courage and her moral strength, which is demonstrated in her virtue, makes her a heroine akin to the description of the virtuous wife in Proverbs 31. Now, I won't read Proverbs 31, it's quite long, but feel free to open it yourselves. But in short, you know, Ruth is a mighty woman of valor here as well. You know, using that word, it's drawing parallels with those mighty men. And so Boaz goes on to instruct Ruth in what to do next. And he almost throws a spanner in the works in that he says, "Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So we have an obstacle in the way. There is someone else who also has a claim to Ruth, somebody who is a closer relative and has the first right of refusal. So Boaz could not exercise his right as kinsman redeemer unless his closer kinsman redeemer first relinquishes his rights towards Ruth. Now this made me think of, you know, obstacles in our way which prevent us from coming to the Lord. You know, our sin can prevent us from coming, you know, or we're weighed down with the guilt over our sin, which can also prevent us from coming. And we can all easily fall into disbelief in the Lord's goodness and think that we cannot come to him because he will not accept us. You know, however, just as Ruth came to Boaz and Boaz sets about removing the obstacles, you know, that's how we need to come to the Lord Jesus. You know, we need to come to him regardless, and he will redeem us. He will remove the obstacles which prevent us from coming to him through, you know, the outworking of, you know, his grace in our lives, also through his forgiveness and his redemption. Indeed, Psalm 145 verse 8 tells us, you know, that the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. You know, there is no reason why we cannot come. You know, no matter what your sin or shame or guilt or, you know, whatever your feelings, you know, we have to come. And that is an imperative. And then we come to verses 14 and 15. So she lay at his feet until morning. And when she arose before one could recognize another, then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also, he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And she held it, and he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. Now, apparently 6 ephahs of barley is massively heavy. It's about 100 pounds. So I think everyone agrees that that is a typographical error. It couldn't have been that much because Ruth wouldn't have been able to carry it. But anyway, that's kind of besides the point. But the first thing Boaz says to Ruth is, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Now, it's important to recognize that Boaz and Ruth, they weren't trying to hide anything scandalous. You know, nothing scandalous had occurred. Instead, we can possibly interpret this as Boaz being cautious in that he didn't want this nearer kinsman to learn that Ruth was now petitioning her right of marriage to a kinsman redeemer before Boaz could tell him personally. So of course, you know, this is speculation, but what is worthy of notice is that Boaz never sends Ruth away empty. You know, Boaz provides Ruth with these ephahs of barley. And this is just so with us. When we come to the Lord Jesus, he never sends us away empty. Isaiah 55 verse 11 reads, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void." Now we often use this verse when doing, you know, when we're speaking about outreach work to non-believers. But, you know, this verse really applies to Christians. You know, when we meet with the Lord in his word, you know, we are filled. You know, he will not leave us empty when we come to him. He's going to fill us with his word and with his spirit. And we then come to the closing verses here, verses 16 through to 18. So when Ruth came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that," or Naomi said, "is that you, my daughter?" And she told her that all that the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Notice how Naomi has grown so much since chapter 1, where, you know, she bemoaned her situation. She called herself Mara. You know, she's now counseling Ruth. She's now advising Ruth properly. You know, sit still. The man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Naomi's faith in Boaz, you know, it's her faith in the goodness of the Lord. You know, she knows that the Lord will provide for her. And she, you know, so she waits in faith. Now, remember in chapter 1 that Naomi was encouraging Ruth to abandon her commitment to the covenant land and abandon her faith in the Lord, as she kept urging her to return to Moab. But now she's completely transformed. She is now instructing Ruth in the Mosaic law. She's saying, wait, be patient, trust in the Lord. Naomi is full of confidence in the power and the goodness of God, and she knows that Boaz will conclude the matter. So what can we learn from Naomi? You know, just we should be certain, you know, that when we cast our care on the Lord, you know, he will care for us. You know, he's promised to do so. That is in his word. And so that all the circumstances of our lives, all of the apparent inconsequential meetings, everything in our lives are, you know, they're ordained by the Lord's mighty providence. Nothing is a mistake with him. And I think we should just rest in that knowledge, knowing that he is in full control, that he is completely omnipotent and omniscient. So these are just a few thoughts on chapter 3 of Ruth.